fighting. It's the fighting. Clock. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Clock.
A camel turnip.
Welcome to the Fighting Cock Podcast, episode 12. We've got a bit of an act to follow because last week's was a belter. Last week's episode was a belter.
It
was
9 out of 10, I reckon.
I was well happy with it.
Knocked it out of the park, didn't we?
We did.
What happened last week?
You weren't here, mate.
Yeah, well, you know, I
your mum's here. Quietly noshing us all off.
Honestly, my revenge is colouring this week. Don't think all those mum comments are going to be let to slide.
I'm here with Spooky, Dan, Ricky, Engineer Al, and Trunk. No Felonious this week, he couldn't make it, but I'm sure he'll be back next week. What have you been doing this week, lads? Anything exciting?
No, not really. Football Manager, that was my
week. How's that going?
Yeah, signed Tevez and Leandro.
Don't you think it's a risk signing Tevez with his disciplinary problems?
Yeah, you know, it's, I'm sure I can handle him. Leave him on the bench.
I'm actually curious. Sorry to cut you, Rick. I'm curious as where you're going to finish in the league compared to how Spurs will finish in the league.
I'll do quite well, actually.
We'll see.
Two or three games.
We'll see. You play the whole season out. Then we'll note where you finish in the league, goals for and all that, and we'll see how Harry Redknapp does against
Champions
you.
Champions League, guaranteed.
All right, well, that's your guarantee in the fans.
Didn't you tweet a tip the other day? Leandro and Tevez can be bought for, come on a free after X amount of time.
No, you just basically bid zero for them, and then you bid 12 million over 48 months.
Oh, right.
So
this is proper like geek.
Yeah, this is,
mean.
I'll remember to save this one for when I'm next out on the pool.
I can happily say I've never played Football Manager.
Hey ladies.
But the big question is it an orange inch?
Already. No one watched episode 2 or 3?
Yeah, three.
Trunk. What's it called? ITK Tottenham Hotspur.
Let's see, whatever. Yeah.
Tottenham Hotspur ITK to Trunk. Have a look at episode 3 for that, what we're talking about there. No one else? What have you?
Well, I had an interesting trip home from the pod last week.
Yep.
So I showed up to the pod a bit pissed, really. And then proceeded to drink a bunch of White Ace, which I'm doing again tonight, thank you. And was a bit pissed when I showed up as well. But anyway, on the way home, basically I have a tradition of falling asleep on, every public transportation that there is in the world, specifically in London, overground, underground, buses, national rail. I fell asleep in the Madrid underground last year after Real. Fell asleep the night before in Porto on the tram. So I do this quite often. But this time it was particularly bad because the train was completely packed, and not only did I pass out, but I spilled almost a full can of White Ace all over my trousers after doing so. Right? Since then, I luckily wake up in time to get off. I get off the train, check my pockets, realize, shit, I don't have my phone. And this is a phone that I've just replaced the week before through an insurance claim.
It's been nicked or you've dropped it.
I've left it on the train.
Oh, wow.
So I let out a big sigh, go to the local Chinese, order a bunch of food. and then walk home. By the time I get home, my flatmate's gotten a call from some girl on the train that's picked up my phone.
Oh, Samaritan.
Very nice. It says we're going to meet up the next day to hand over phones.
And you smashed the shit out of her.
Well.
Smashed.
I wanted to, but I didn't.
I'm talking about beating her up.
How did she know to call your housemate?
Well, because it was the last number that I've called on the phone.
She Columbo'd.
So anyway, so I go all the way up. The next time I go all the way up to Hackney, meet this girl, now, give her 20 quid for the trouble for saving my phone and that.
It's not bad. Yeah.
Treating her like a hooker. Right?
Come to find out, not only is she
there you go, whore. Yeah.
Not only is she American, but she's from about an hour away from where I'm from. Just over the border, Indiana, which is kind of funny. But the funniest bit of the whole thing is, after I give her 20 quid, she says, "Oh, I can't believe you're normal." And I say, "What do you mean by that? I can't believe you're normal." She says, "Well, looking at you on the train last night, you look like such a delinquent. I was afraid to meet up with you."
Hang on, she nicked your phone off you. Yeah. Is that what's happened here?
Bitch!
All right, excellent. Very long-winded. But it probably better than what I've been doing, which is mainly watching Record Breakers. Old reruns of Record Breakers with Chris Akabuchi. Chris Akabuchi.
Oh, right.
And
he didn't even know he presented it.
Awooga.
Yeah.
No, mate. That passed me by big time.
All right. I'm pretty sure someone out there will know what I'm doing. I was talking about. And I've also bought a new jacket. I've had to put plasters over my nipples today because
you do that all the time. Every time you've got a new
jumper,
your
nipples never go down.
Oh yeah, it's a nice jumper, yeah, but I've got really sore nipples. I've got plasters over my nipples. What's the matter with
you?
Have you
seen
your
nipples?
I have seen.
What, they cut?
Just permanently erect.
Permanently erect.
They're not erect. They're just hard. It's not.
I've got a problem with
your
nipples.
He's like, it's a problem.
Honestly, it is a problem. People
are born this way.
You live a life. Live a couple of days without flick.
It's sensitive. Do you put like clips on them and shit?
No, it isn't.
Like kinky.
It's not a masochistic thing. It's,
yeah, they chafe so much they bleed.
Yeah.
Never run the marathon.
If I go for a run, that's a bad thing. That's why I give up running.
Yeah.
Because my nipples.
Medical reasons.
Yeah, so basically I spent about half an hour teasing off a plaster off my nipple because it's not great getting a plaster off your nipple.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? All right, anyway. Can we go and talk about Spurs a little bit?
Might as well. It's the top of the podcast.
All right. Prick of the week. Jack Wilshere won.
With about good. 90%, I think, in the end.
Do you think he's angry about that?
I'm sure he's not going to sleep well tonight.
All right, Jack Wilshere, prick of the week. I don't know how much use putting Arsenal players on prick of the week is, because it's supposed to be a gauge of how much of a dick each one of us has been.
Yeah.
So kind of makes us all exempt if we put Arsenal players in.
Well, I think I came in first out of everyone else again.
No, I don't think you did.
That's because I voted for you on about four different computers.
That's drunk, wasn't it, for not turning up last week.
Anyway, look, let's move on to some Spurs stuff. We'll talk about Stratford. Spurs released a statement, and Trunk's going to read it out in Daniel Levy's voice.
All right. So, which one is it? Spurs 76.
We welcome the OPLC decision to end the current Olympic Stadium bid process. We firmly believe that the bid we put forward was, in fact, a realistic sporting solution for the stadium, along with a substantial return to the taxpayer, community, programming and athletics provision.
Cheers, Daniel. Yeah, cheers, Dan. What? That's the most brief, strange little statement.
It's almost like a very subtle two fingers stuck up towards West Ham.
Yeah, but it's also saying that they're saying, well, we've still got the strongest bid here. Why? How comes Spurs weren't?
Yeah, it's one of these things. No one really knows what's going on. All we can do is make assumptions and hope that he's still playing politics with Haringey and the government and whoever else to get money for the development project.
I mean, as far as I was aware about all this, though, I mean, I didn't see this as any kind of risk of us now going in again for the stadium, because I thought the decision that had been made was, no, actually, we're not going to sell it to someone now, we're just going to rent it out. And I can't ever see us going for someone like that.
I think it's because the actual process of the bid has collapsed, so they don't have any other choice now.
And it's in some way, they've almost got out of anybody taking responsibility for the allegation that it was an unfair process. They've scrapped it. It kind of proves Levy right. On the other hand, West Ham supporters are saying this is a genius move by Karen Brady, because she's basically...
What?
Exactly. Well, this is what I mean about the way everything gets distorted depending on who you are. West Ham fans are saying, we're going to still get it, but we're going to get it by renting it.
But that isn't... You don't want that. They want their own ground. Not only do they want to sell out, right, and move to this Olympic Stadium where they're about 4 miles from the pitch... Well, no, they don't want it as their own stadium. So they're going to be some weird little tenants in this weird stadium.
That the running track would be, you know, cast in stone, that it would have to remain as part of the stadium.
Wasn't this what the appeals were about? Certainly from Tottenham's aspect, were that the running track would have to remain for at least 50 years prior to...
Yeah.
But I think, weren't West Ham saying that it was going to remain, but they were going to have retractable seats, so...
Well, I've heard that this is all conjecture now. And
I think all of it is, mate.
It is,
with this story.
But West Ham were hoping that after a few years that the kind of buzz or the anger about the pitch, the trap remaining would die down and they'd be able to sort it out.
At the end of the day.
And West Ham haven't got any.
Yeah.
But Spurs have loads. So what's going on? I mean,
I think wasn't one of the things that didn't Newham Council retract their money that they were going to loan them or something?
Yeah, that was another thing. That £40 million that they were promised, the argument was that was public money. So that in fact that public money had paid for the stadium and public money was in fact buying it for West Ham as well, and which was another point of the appeal, I think.
I think one of the other things you do have to consider as well is that with West Ham getting a stadium that size, I mean, it's not just in against Spurs the fact that from Levy's position that we didn't get that stadium, so we now have to pay a lot of money to get another one. If West Ham got a stadium of that size, regardless of the running track or not, it instantly makes them a bigger club. And then if they have a stadium like that, it makes them a much more viable option for like a foreign investor to come and say, "Wow, look at that stadium, we'll buy them." And then that's more competition for us. It might be a few years off, but...
And if you own it outright, you can do anything you want with it. I mean, we were going to knock it down and build something in its place if we had won the bid. Now, if you're loaning it, you obviously... I think they're going to be stuck in an Athletic's purpose-built structure.
Basically, what we're hoping for is West Ham to be stuck in this horrible rut that they can't get out of, in a stadium they don't want to be in, their fans hate them.
I think if anything,
and ultimately they go into liquidation and disappear.
Hasn't he? You just put them back in their box. They can't do much with it. They can move in. They're not going to sell out 50,000-60,000 per game.
No, they're not going to do it. But what I like about this is Levy hasn't given this up. And I criticised Levy. In fact, even last year I went so far as to say that I would never go to Tottenham again. And I did actually give up for about 3 weeks.
No, you did. And there's a couple of tickets you missed out on as well.
I missed out on Arsenal at home. Oh, no, I didn't, actually, because that was when we lost. So I got to go to the Arsenal home game. But I missed out on Bolton. I missed out on Cranchar scoring that last minute when Arsenal drew 4-4. I went crazy in my room and then dulled down in this horrible, horrible feeling that I'm missing out on everything that I love came over me. It was. I felt close to tears. It was one of the most depressing situations in relation to football. More depressing than John Crace has ever got anything he's gone through. And I would... Was that not fair?
A bit harsh, but
really?
No,
that was really depressing for me. I was in a difficult situation.
Yeah.
All right, sorry. We're talking. I'm taking the mickey out of mental health here. I shouldn't be. But the
long-winded.
What was long? Anyway, what was I saying? Oh yes, so I missed out on going to. I gave up on Spurs for a while because of the Olympic. The chances that we were going to move over to the Olympic Stadium.
How many of you lot would actually still go to Stratford if we were relocated to Stratford? Would you carry on going?
Stratford is 30 minutes from my front door and I don't even live in London, and I can get into Stratford within half an hour. If I was not who I am, I'd just go, yeah, great, I can get into Tottenham in 30 minutes. But it's not about travelling to Tottenham.
Yeah.
Well, we had this argument over the course of the last year on the blogs, in the forums, arguments for and against, but it's one of those things that you can talk about for hours. And if you've got two people who both love Tottenham, they can still disagree on the fact that, is it a good thing to move out of Tottenham into a new stadium in East London, or is it a bad thing? I'm still saying it's not. I don't see why we need to rush to cut corners and take something that's an opportunity that's come up in someone else's back garden. It's just not. It doesn't sit well with me at all.
Not me, nor me.
Nah.
The only thing that I don't back this move to Stratford, but there is just that side of me though that still, with regard to the North London, what is it, the Northumberland Park development?
Yeah.
I honestly can't see how that area will support a 60,000 seater stadium.
Like the Spurs.
Yeah, where we are now, it's pretty much a meltdown as it is now on a match day. Like when there's 30,000 people in the area.
Damn.
In terms of the transport, though, to me it seems like an easy solution. You have Northumberland Park just to the east of the stadium, and that is where all the other trains come and dock, don't they? There's a bunch of trains that...
dock.
Dock. not dock in Ricky's sense.
Oh.
But you know what I mean. But a lot of trains end up in Northumberland Park, don't they?
Yeah.
And kind of park up there.
Mm.
It seems like it'd be an easy thing to convert that into a station.
I think there is actually a tunnel there that exists already. It's that to Northumberland Park, an actual underground station.
It's much closer than Seven Sisters, anyway.
Oh yeah,
but
that's the issue.
But I mean, name me another multi-billion or million, should I say, pound business in the world that's going to invest so much money into Tottenham. There's nothing else, and we've seen how deprived bits of Tottenham can be recently. And it seems like you have this opportunity where you have this organization that's willing to invest all this money into a deprived area, and something as simple as adding a new station to transport links that are already essentially there, the infrastructure's there. It shouldn't be as big of a deal as they make it out to be.
I think I'm kind of in the position where I trust Levy enough to deal with this and know that it's being dealt with in the right way.
Yes and no.
As long as his decision isn't to be
distracted, obviously. He's basically looking after the shareholders and the investors, okay? So they've got their agenda, and he would do the best for Tottenham, which is good for us, but it would have meant moving to Stratford, which is something a lot of Tottenham supporters disagree with. But he would have done that for the good of the club and say, we're going to have 60,000 plus, we're going to have X amount of money coming in, we're going to be a super club, we're going to be super rich. That doesn't guarantee anything, even having that type of stadium. You only have to look down the Seven Sisters Road to know that.
Yep.
And football might implode in the next 5-10 years anyway.
God willing.
Why do we need 60,000-70,000 anyway? 55,000 of hardcore, loyal Tottenham supporters rather than tourists would do the job that we need. We've competed on the money and the stadium that we've had in the last 15 years.
Dan.
Maybe not as much in the 90s as we would have liked to, but we're still there or thereabouts.
Dan, guide me.
How about the fact that I don't want to wait 15 years for a season ticket?
hang on, let's go back, because Ricky mentioned about 5 minutes ago, who would actually, just a quick round the table, who would still go to Stratford?
I don't think I'd be able to, mate, to be honest.
No one's going to dig anyone. How do you feel?
Despite the season ticket thing that I've just said, I wouldn't want to go to Stratford. And I'm not from Tottenham.
No one would want to go, but would you still watch Spurs play there?
I don't think that I would, no.
No, never.
Jack? It's tough, do you know what I mean?
Just to disown
the club. Though,
it's not. They're disowning me.
Yeah.
That's what's happened. They're disowning me.
True.
I would never.
FC Hotspur.
Who would? Nah. It's all right. So let's. What would you do, Al? Stratford.
Fuck that, man.
All right. So let's start something.
Flav.
Right?
Stratford.
Yeah. I'm going. I'm on a wait list. I'm 2000 on waiting list. I got my fucking ticket. The wall. They're going to build a wall in Stratford. Do you know that? No. Fuck that, mate.
FC Hotspur.
FC Hotspur.
Maybe they can build a new lovely king statue.
Oh yeah, that one with them weird little kids, mate.
It doesn't even look like a man.
I know.
I still haven't seen this photograph of the.
Don't bother. It's rubbish. It's absolutely rubbish.
I'm curious, yeah.
Okay, let's move on to David Pleat. Chicago Dan last week said,
"What a curse on us!"
Somehow, I don't know if you've got some inside knowledge, right?
But he's ITK.
What did you say last week?
Even realize, were we not talking about potential replacements for Harry?
Yeah.
And I called for the third or fourth return of David Pleat as caretaker manager.
and lo and behold, 2 days later...
Unbelievable.
Did a club announce it, or there was massive speculation that Pleat was about to sign as a scout?
Let us not forget who handed out the Goal of the Season award last year. I'm,
you know.
Harry's on the bell to me on a regular basis, and he says, "I need a new scout. What do you reckon?" I said, "David Pleat."
So if he comes, it's your fucking you're doing your dick.
I'd love to get like Harry Pleat and Roy Hodgson in a room together and like flick all their faces and see which one stops wobbling.
What's Pleat done to deserve he can barely pronounce, he's no good at commentating, and yet he keeps getting jobs as a commentator.
He can't pronounce a player's name.
Chibomba.
He's no good at managing football clubs, yet he keeps getting goes at managing football clubs.
Apart from 1987, which was probably the best Tottenham side.
Yeah, but we had Clive Allen that season. who was absolutely on fire. He was the best striker in the league.
Oh, without a doubt.
So it's like saying you've got... we're talking about Wenger being a good manager in 2003 and 2004 because he had the best striker in the world in Thierry.
All right, don't fucking...
Well, come on. Come, Spook, I was come prepared 80, or don't come.
I was going to talk about 87 then, but I'll leave it.
Sorry, mate, go on.
No. My groove's dead. You killed it.
I'll keep doing that, I'm sorry. Yeah, but what's he done, though? What's he done to come back?
Ricky's
no
mum.
Idea.
David Peters had sex with your mum, Ricky.
Not me,
I see the resemblance.
And he mispronounced your name.
Wiki.
Don't take Harney to
Mickey Willer.
And
I mean, who is he actually scouted for us in the past and signed?
Rebrov.
Well, yeah, he was involved in. I think he tried to take credit for it.
How do you take credit for Ray Brock?
Wasn't he director of football this
time? It's like taking credit for Stefan Iversen. Or Gary Doherty or Doherty.
Well, yeah, he brought him from Luton, didn't he?
He did.
Oh, God. And, like, it's a good point that I think, Spooky, you made about Bloomfield's position at the club, because he's head scout and he found Sandro. And now David Pleat comes along, who's obviously been director of football previously.
He might be like a game of football manager where he's got an assignment, so we send him out to, I don't know.
Yeah, send him out to Europe.
There is one thing Belgium about David Pleat, and it's not with football in terms. I remember when I was younger, me and my dad's Corsa, driving down to Water Lane, coming up to the roundabout, waiting there for ages, no car would let him through. This silver Merc, the guy in the front, waves my dad through, it was Pleat.
Excellent.
He's a nice guy.
There was, right? The 50s.
Welcome back, please.
1950s. Yeah,
don't want him back.
No, I don't want him back.
I know, he didn't. There was
just to work the traffic around Tottenham.
Yeah. Didn't he make it with traffic around Tottenham?
Actually, that's not a good idea, is it, really? Put out the streets again.
Excellent. All right, so David, we don't really know what's going on, but he's here. He's here, and let's just get behind him.
I do know what's going on.
I'm not
a privilege to tell everyone at the moment. What? I do know what's going on.
All right, if it comes out, you can let us in.
All right.
You're proper ITK, you know nothing.
Yeah, bro.
You don't even know what I don't know.
Newcastle away. We talked about it a little bit last week. What's going on? They're unbeaten. Alan Pardew.
They ain't come up against
them. I only just realised. I knew that they'd been doing well, but I was looking at the table the other night. I said, Jesus, I didn't even realise that they were undefeated.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, they've had some. They haven't had the strongest. They haven't played any decent teams.
They haven't played any decent teams.
What was the score then?
1-0, I think, wasn't it? Didn't they play Liverpool away?
Oh, they played Arsenal away as well. Yeah. Doesn't really matter.
But they're both the teams that we've beat, but we played both of those at home, and I would consider our start very difficult. So, Newcastle for Champions League? Is that what we're saying here?
Oh, bloody well.
I found it very funny when... I don't know if you heard this quote, Shola Ameobi, last year when they were... Well, no. Was it last year or the year before they were in the Championship? Year before last, wasn't it? Yeah. And he scored like a hat-trick away at Doncaster. And he likened it to, this is like me reliving one of my childhood memories as I sat in the stands and watched Faustino Espria score a hat-trick against Barcelona. Just like that.
I'm not saying anything about any Newcastle players because I know what will happen. But
we do tend to switch. I know we mentioned this last week.
We're terrible at St James's Park.
We've got a crap record.
Timothy Atuba.
We win now and again, but rarely... But I mean, it's got to be a new start in terms of.
This is it with Spurs.
In terms of the team that we've got at the minute compared to the team that we've had in the past.
Well, recently Spurs have been pulling results. I say recently, I'm talking about next last couple of years or year or so. That we've been pulling out results where historically we wouldn't have done. Arsenal last week, for example. Wolves away.
Wigan and Wolves both away.
Both of those away.
Convincingly beating Liverpool at home.
Yeah.
The only away match we've lost all season was...
What if we won the league? What if we actually win the league this year? Are we going to win the league?
I think we will.
Come on! Every fucking game! We're going to win every game!
Once again, I already know the answer to this, but I can't reveal it.
Where do we finish this year?
I can't reveal it yet.
Honestly, I can't see us losing another game this year.
Really?
Yeah. I think we're going to win. You know, the only reason we lost the first two games against Man United and Man City was because...
Give him a head start.
We didn't have Parker, Adebayor.
I'm being serious. Modric and Kranjčar in midfield. That's the only reason we didn't win. As soon as we get defensive midfielders in, different team, not even looked anywhere near being beat by including Liverpool and Arsenal, we're going
to
win the league.
I think we're comfortably Champions League. That's why
we're going to be the first team to win the league with a 36,000 seat stadium.
And there you go.
That's probably not the truth, though.
No, we don't need Stratford.
You need to go a bit further back in history.
Well, no,
but then they all had terraces then, didn't they?
Yeah, during
White Hart Lane used to get like 100,000 people in it.
During the 60s and 70s, we used to hold 70,000.
Yeah, 50 to 70.
My old man was at a game at Spurs where we held 70,000 at Spurs.
I think the record's 74 against Sunderland.
Yeah,
around about that time. So I mean, that must be immense.
Bring back terraces.
Bring back.
Safe standing.
Definitely.
They do it in Germany.
Exactly.
They do it well. No reason. Yeah.
Bring back smoking in grounds.
Yeah. I'll take that over standing. Don't even smoke. Bring back whores in grounds.
Yeah, oh, that'd be good. Everyone needs a good breath of haircut.
Could you imagine? Because honestly, if you looked at a stand at half time and the whores were allowed inside the stadium, there would be at least 100 going up and down at one time. Sky cameras panning.
So Ricky's mum would make a bit of extra money as well.
Oh, yeah.
Jack's got a brace there.
See, I thought they'd all be wearing Luka Modric kits.
What? Yeah, Luka Modric's kids.
Kits.
Oh, kids! Sorry.
For fuck's sake.
What is the kids? I don't know. My ears, isn't it?
I would never wear a Luka Modric kid.
I might. Depends out if he leaves us next year. let's quickly move on to Defoe versus Van der Vaart. And I know we did talk about this last week, but there's been a lot of debate and we have to address it again.
There should be no debate, really.
What do you think?
Well, who's the world-class player?
Van der Vaart.
Van der Vaart.
That's it. You know, at the end of the day, he's a match winner. Go on, Jack.
I was just going to say, the thing that's sullying it is the fact that he keeps getting played on the right, because he looked dog right shit against Arsenal, but that's because he was played out of position. He kept going into the centre.
I don't think he looked dog shit.
I thought he was awful, mate.
No, he was pissy,
arguing with people.
He scored a goal and he played in about three or four key chances, but I agree with you, he shouldn't have been played on the right.
Never, just don't put him there. It's just a waste.
We went into that quite a lot last week.
Yeah, I know, but
you obviously didn't.
I mean, Defoe's playing well. To be fair, JD's playing quite well at the minute.
He is.
It comes back down to the fact that who's the better quality player? Who wins us matches? I think his record is even better than JD's in terms of scoring recently as well, so
I think it's a really, really difficult decision, because with Defoe you have a more natural setup, and it is much more natural. And he seems to fit well with Adebayor, as we've said before.
The organic 4-4-2.
It's much more organic.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Van der Vaart is the match winner, but he's well out of place playing on the right. But meanwhile, if everybody's fit, you really just don't have another option than playing him on the right.
What is wrong? Right, tell me. I might be an idiot. Right, I am an idiot, but Van der Vaart, he plays in the hole behind the front man. Fucking child, I know. Plays in the hole behind the front man.
Just like Ricky's mum.
Doesn't even make sense. Plays
in the hole. Yeah, your mum plays in the hole behind the front man. That's funny. Yeah, I like that.
No,
it doesn't. But she does.
Hitching, you're getting it, mate.
Anyway,
that's what his mum said.
From your mum.
Alright, come on. So what's wrong with Van der Vaart playing an advanced striker's role? I admit he plays flat with flat with Adebayor up front, like Defoe does. Is it because he doesn't have enough pace? Is it because he's going to naturally drop back? Why can't he play in Defoe's position?
Yeah, but there's no problem in playing behind Adebayor and dropping back, is there? I mean, surely.
I think there's a problem there, because we end up with one striker.
I think there's a massive difference, though, because Van der Vaart would play behind Adebayor, whereas Defoe will play in front of Adebayor. Defoe's a true kind of back shoulder striker, where he's always, there's a reason he's offside 6-7 times a game, because he's always on the back shoulder of the defender.
It's a game of inches.
Whereas Van der Vaart, It's going to be playing on the other side of Edinburgh, isn't it? Kim Inches, that's what.
That's obvious. That's obvious. Dan, you've got to explain what happened to Dan, didn't he? He said Game of Inches and he was desperate to
You said Game
of Inches. Yeah, I know, I did, but you said it and he was desperate to get a Ricky's mum joke out, but he started cracking up before he could say it.
Ricky's not looking
after it. I'll glass up on it a minute.
Your mum's getting roasted this outbreak.
Anyway, you know what I'm saying. One of them plays on one side of Edinburgh and the other one plays on the other side. Fuck it off.
I heard that Harry kept playing Rafa on the right because he wouldn't let Rafa wouldn't let him sniff Sylvie's knickers.
Oh.
It's true. That's like
middle did. That's fair enough, though.
He wrote the blog that I read recently. I think it may have been Windy, but it was Defy Verse.
Yeah, that's
excellent. Yeah, it's
basically,
absolutely brilliant.
That's, I mean, that article, the blog on Windy's blog, you're going to hear a little bit from Windy in a second, but... if you want a definitive kind of argument over what should happen in the VDV and Defoe situation, have a look at Windy's blog. It's Windy's... What's the URL for his blog?
Oh, don't look at me, mate.
Type Windy's blog, THFC, in Google. You'll find it.
It's good if you like kids as well.
Well, Windy's specifically requested that we don't make the paedophile jokes to him anymore.
It wasn't a pedo joke. It was just like just saying that.
Oh yeah,
we never said that he was a pedophile.
You just made that into a pedo joke.
Oh, sorry, Windy. Right, but anyway, what are you going to hear now?
I'm deja vu.
Well, sorry. What you're going to hear now is a recording, and it sounds a little bit like 15 years ago, a recording that the Roving reporters did from Tranmere, reporting on a game. But Windy's going to talk about her youth setup, and he's going to be doing this on a regular basis now. So that's what you're going to hear now.
Hi, Windy here from the Spurs blog windycoys.com. This is a quick youth update looking at our young players and players out on loan. I'll start with the Next Gen series. It's a youth tournament that's been dubbed the Champions League of Under-19 football. We started off back in August with a 2-2 draw at Basel in Switzerland before beating Inter Milan 7-1 at home. Solly Koulibaly took most of the plaudits that day, but Massimo Luongo and Alex Pritchard were also outstanding. We then went away to PSV at the end of September and came away 2-1 winners there as well, with Jack Munns coming off the bench to score a late goal. The next fixture is another game against PSV, this time their home fixture, and it's used to be played at Spurs Lodge in Chigwell, but I wouldn't be surprised to see it move to Leighton Orient. Between these matches, our development squad have been playing in Spurs 11 matches. These are effectively reserve games that the club organise ad hoc, and they're played behind closed doors. Aaron Lennon made his comeback in one of these games at the beginning of October, and we beat Leighton Orient 3-1 that day with goals from Cameron Lancaster, John Bostock and Kevin Stewart. Moving on to the Premier Academy League, our under-18s beat Bristol City 3-1 at Spurs Lodge this weekend, with a slightly more experienced team than we normally field, including several players that have got Next Gen Series experience, plus Jack Bartham, who was a sub for our first team in the Europa League. The goal scorers were Shaq Colthurst with 2 and Lee Angle with the other. We've had a fairly mixed start to the season, winning 3, losing 3 and drawing 2, although in previous years it's fair to say that our results have tended to pick up as the season's gone on, mainly because the young players have to have time to bed in and get used to Alex Inglethorpe's pass and move style of football. Our lone players are not having too much luck. The injured list currently at 8, including Stephen Corker at Swansea and Jermaine Genus at Villa. Some of the injuries are a bit more long-term, like Nathan Byrne, who's at Bournemouth, and John Obika, who's at Yeovil, but some of them shorter-term, with Ryan Mason due back for Doncaster soon. Of those fit and playing, Kyle Norton played 90 minutes for Norwich as they lost 2-0 at Old Trafford, and he's made the right-back spot his own at Norwich with some decent performances, particularly with attacking play. Dave Bentley played 90 minutes as West Ham drew 2-2 with Crystal Palace. I've read that he's mainly played on the left for them so far, which really isn't his best position. Our Scotland under-19 goalkeeper, Jordan Archer, made his debut for Conference North side Bishop Stortford last week. He's on loan with them for a month, and I expect him to be looking at getting some league experience this season too. Finally, Simon Dawkins has been playing regularly in the MLS for San Jose Earthquakes, and I'm thinking that he's probably going to move there permanently at the end of the deal, as he's now 23. If you're interested in any of our young players or loan updates, follow me on Twitter at WindyCoys. That's Coys for Come On You Spurs.
And we're back. It's the second half of the Fighting Cock podcast episode.
Epilogue.
Is that a word?
It's a word now, right?
It's our word now. Have you noticed we've been claiming words? Yeah. We've been claiming words.
What was the other one?
Last week you came up with one, Dan.
I don't remember. Well, it's Primax before, wasn't there?
Yeah, but those are good words. These ones are words that don't exist in English language and don't mean anything. So Epilogue is one of those.
Epilogue.
Anyway,
he scored a good goal.
Go. That's an impediment. That's not. That's something else. It's episode 12. Sorry, mate. Sorry. Episode 12, and we're back. And thank you to Windy for that.
Cheers, Windy.
Update and more of that, please, because no one knows more about Spurs youngsters than you.
He does love them.
What you do with those youngsters and the videos you take and the pictures you take, I have no idea. We won't tell the police, will we?
I might do.
All right. if you didn't know, sorry, Windy. If you didn't know, the Fighting Cock has a website. It's called thefightingcock.co.uk. And to find that website, you could type things like Spurs, cock, yep, or Spurs.
That has some interesting Google results, isn't it? It
probably wouldn't come up. Spurs podcast, or you could type the Fighting Cock, or
this is obviously in Google if you're googling.
But Case, the geezer who made the website and
Queso
manages the website.
What's Queso mean? Do you remember?
Cheese.
I think so. I don't even know if that's true.
No, it is. Yeah, Queso.
All right, we'll take that anyway. Whatever. It's our word now. yeah. So he posted on the forum the search terms to find the FC website, and these are the top five that people have used to find the Fighting Cock website, apart from obvious things like thefightingcock.co.uk. Tevez is a prick. It's the first one. Glory Hole Cock.
That was me, sorry.
Second one, wanking methods, which speaks for itself. And why is FIFA 12 so fucking hard? And the last one, which is the kind of the best, is Arsene Wenger is a wank behind the nearest tree. Someone has typed that in and found our website.
Why would you go to Google and just think, I'm going to search for Arsene Wenger has a wank behind a tree? That doesn't...
Unemployment does funny things to
me. What's worse is that somehow they found our website based on that. So who's wrong here, us or this guy? Or unless it was a girl.
It's all varying degrees of wrongness.
It is indeed. It is indeed. Let's quickly talk about Europa League. We've got Rubin Kazan. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
No.
How's it pronounced?
But be careful, man. They're a decent side.
Sounds like Kaiser Soze's cousin.
Why are they a decent side?
It's Rubin Kazan that drew 1-1 at the Nou Camp, isn't it? Or maybe even won at the Nou Camp.
No, I think they won at the Nou Camp.
Yeah, I think they won 2-1 at the Nou Camp. And this is quality Barcelona as well.
Yeah, but we beat AC Milan last year, and AC Milan drew at the Nou Camp 2-2, so ergo we're better than Barcelona.
I think what Jack's saying is Trunk,
don't underestimate them.
Yeah, strong spine, not too many of the kids running around because we're probably getting bullied. That wasn't a joke about paedophilia, mate. It was just kids.
No, that's not. I don't think that's what he was saying. What? Dan, what was you saying?
Didn't they used to play for Chelsea? Aaron Rubin Kazan.
Kesman. It's not bad.
I was going to say Aaron.
Not bad. Does anyone know anything about Rubin Kazan?
No, nothing.
No, I don't know. Russian army.
I know they've got lots of money, but they only play in front of 12,000 people. So how good...
But they're different to the ones... Who is it? It's Anzi that signed Eto'o and want to sign Van Persie, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anzi's
are these just... Is every club in Russia owned by someone like Abramovich?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Is that what it's like? We don't know, do we?
That's what Russians do, mate.
They spend money, they dig for oil and they buy football clubs.
That's right. And they start cold wars.
Locker and punch people.
And they're turncoats when during Second World War.
They do make fantastic basketball, though.
And they eat lots of beetroot. Any other stereotypes, Russian stereotypes?
They do the dance.
Hats.
Yeah, the hats.
Pavlichenko.
Tetris.
And the geezer from Rocky.
Yeah, Ivan Drago. Ivan Drago. All right.
All drugged up and all.
So we're going to play the youth team against Rubin Kazan. We don't know what's going to happen. They may be brilliant. How have the youth team been doing? I mean, it's on the back of what Windy's been saying, which is pretty apt. But I've been pretty impressed with our youth team players.
They've been tearing it up in this next gen series, haven't they?
That's the under-19s. But I was thinking about the players that have been playing in the Europa League.
I think we were a bit hasty the first when we said that Jake Livermore was never going to make it, because he's
most of us said that he would make it. You said that he'd be out in the League One team.
Anyway, Jake, you're my boy. Don't forget that. Direct message from Jake Livermore on Twitter.
He doesn't know what he doesn't know how he was coaching.
And these guys just play in organised friendlies, though, don't they? Because we haven't got a reserve team anyway. No. Yeah.
I think Jake Livermore looks right. Carroll looks good.
I actually like that idea of not actually playing in the reserve league, because
it seems to have worked out well.
It has done, and you send more players out on loan.
They're more hungry when they play for the first.
That's it, and the players that are actually sticking around are there to occasionally get into a Europa League game, rather than playing against Aston Villa's second team on a Tuesday night.
Nobody
really cares.
It doesn't matter. That you're 100% right. But what would be great is if they could come out of White Lane at a full house with us getting behind the team. And do you know how to do that? Spurs, Daniel Levy says each ticket's a tenner. Even if it's a 20, the ground is like...
Yeah, you're right.
And the ground's full and the players are getting an idea about
what
it's
like to
play.
I think a lot of people can't be arsed with this game, which is...
This is going to be the lowest attendance for a long time.
Yeah, it will be.
I don't think that's wrong, but I think the better option is what's happening now, where you have a Stephen Cocker playing... Well, he's injured now, and he's injured for a while.
I know, he got a bad injury, didn't he?
But say Stephen Cocker a month ago, where he's playing proper matches against... at home against Liverpool or away to a Chelsea or whoever Swansea have played this year. That's proper game experience. That's not playing on a Tuesday.
Unless that was the idea of scrapping the reserves and sending them out on loan.
No, I think the concept is a good idea.
Yeah, without doubt.
Look at how Welbeck's performing now. He's gone back to United after a season.
He's been brilliant. Well.
Same with Sturridge. Like I thought cleverly. Sturridge was cleverly.
I know he broke his knee, but he's
they're great players.
Sturridge is the star though. Sturridge is he's the one thing that could have, in my opinion, could have done that Modric deal.
Sturridge coming to Spurs.
If you would have said a 25, 30 million and Daniel Sturridge,
they've got a good player there.
And that he's going to be a superstar.
See, I didn't think he was all that. See, when they first bought him,
he was good
at
Man City.
Yeah, I just thought he was kind of to make up the numbers to their European score, because they got that keeper in at the same time as well. Was it Ross Turnbull? No.
Yeah, Ross Turnbull. Wasn't a part of the same deal,
but
they bought backup players.
And I thought Sturridge was just part of that. I had no idea that he was actually. Decent.
From the first time I've seen him, I thought he was going to be a star, and I think he still is going to be. I think he is the one thing that could have turned that Modric deal in the summer, Spurs Chelsea.
Why don't you just bum him down?
Well, I might do.
If you get the chance.
Well, we'll have to wait and see.
He does have a nice complexion. He's got sexy.
We'll have to see how many white ace I
he's
have.
He's no Ryan Gosling, but he's a good looking man.
Who is Ryan Gosling?
There's no such man exists.
Doesn't matter. I'll get him in the Hitchens headlock and up.
You have a choice. What you're talking about is rape.
He'll do what I want to. You score goals for Tottenham. Now.
Or you take Hitchens' dick.
We're going to go on to the things that have been discussed on the Spurs Fighting Cop Forum. Do you want to take this check?
Can we just say that the forum has been on fire? The last week or so, not literally, that would be electronically impossible.
You log on, there's flames in the screen, it's on fire, this is too much.
But yeah, there's a good old buzz about the place at the minute, isn't there? There's a lot of people signing up every day, so yeah,
I'm not liking all this negative reputation I'm getting on there. There's lots of thumbs down on my little picture thing. I don't like it.
What your we've got this thing on the forums where
it's like karma, isn't it?
It's karma. Yeah. So if you say something good or lots of people like it, you get a little thumbs up, and if you say something that people don't like, you get a thumbs down.
So what's your tally,
Dan?
Trunk?
I think I'm down 4.
Minus 4. That's pretty bad.
Meanwhile, I hardly have time to go on the forum.
Yep.
But every time I tweet something on Twitter, I get 3.
Retweets.
3 replies offering me a beer at the next time that someone meets me.
Really?
Yeah.
But it's a good scam. Yeah. It does work.
If you're getting free beer,
I want accolade. We still haven't had any hoes yet.
Plus, people are only offering me because they know that I only want 89p per drink.
You're a cheap date. Cheap date.
So yeah, forum's on fire, and we were going to chat about.
I want to talk about. This thing, something happened to me before the Arsenal Sounds like a confession, doesn't it? Something happened to me before the Arsenal game. I was my old man at the last minute could suddenly go to the Arsenal game, but he didn't have a ticket. And there was a guy on Twitter who had a spare, and I was like, brilliant! I can get my dad in the game, not the game, but the game we were going to that day. And the guy said, I want in excess of £100. And I was thinking, what? Yeah, all right, if this ticket's in like the West Upper, where it's an expensive ticket to buy, fair enough. But it was in the East Lower. The maximum face value for something like this would be £70, maybe £80. And I was willing to say to him,
East Lower would never be £80.
No, never.
You're talking 50 to 65.
Yeah, right. Definitely.
Right, okay. All right, so I'm thinking this, and I'm thinking, I'll give this guy, anyone who sells me a ticket, goes out their way to give me a ticket, or I'll give them a couple of quid on top for a drink as a favour to what they're doing. But this guy said, I'm only accepting offers in excess of £100. And I'm thinking, this is a Spurs fan. This is we're playing Arsenal, have arch rivals, and you're trying to make money out of a fellow Spurs fan. And I was like, you can get fucked. I spoke to my dad to see if he wanted it, and he said, nah, tell him to get fucked. And he watched it at home in the end. Do you know what I mean? So we're sort of talking about why. Is it okay? I mean, I feel a bit put out by this bloke. I don't want to mention him, but
In terms of the club, they obviously frown upon it, but I mean, it happens.
Right, that's
anyway.
It's
not allowed, but the thing is, the reason it's not allowed is obviously if you sell it to someone who comes in who's not a Tottenham fan or is a troublemaker, etc. And if it comes back to you, you're going to get into trouble.
Ethically, is it right to do it to another fan?
Well, in terms of people I know people that in the Park Lane, I mean, I know one bloke who for some reason owns 4 season tickets because people down the years have basically sold the season ticket to him, and then he uses it to sell the ticket.
Yeah, sell it on, that's fine.
To other people, but he will charge maybe £10 more. But never, Arsenal away, he might charge £100.
From someone who gets secondhand tickets regularly.
Yeah.
No, I think it's absolute bullshit. I get tickets all the time, random tickets for this match and that match, away matches, whatever. Most of the time, the people don't even ask me to pay the face value. They're just trying to give them away to a Spurs supporter who wants to go to the match, because they can't go. If someone is in a position where they want their money back for it, I'm willing to do that.
That's how it should work,
right?
Really.
So you've paid.
Of course, you don't want to be out of pocket.
You've paid £55 for it. Fine, I'll give you £55 for it. Someone were to ask me for more money for a ticket to White Hart Lane than the listed price, I would do as your old man did, which is.
Say no.
Fuck right off.
I mean, how do you feel about this joke?
There is that little side of me. I'm not saying this as a diss to anyone here, to your old man or anything like that, because I'm in that same boat where I don't go to as many games as I should. I'm not a season ticket holder. And so if I go to try and get a second-hand ticket off of someone, there's almost that part of me that thinks like, well, I deserve to get charged a bit more. I should go to more games, get more loyalty points. And go. It's almost like your penance for picking and choosing what games you want to go to.
Go on, Rick.
No, well, I just think it's. I can understand people charging like a £10 on top to meet you at the corner. Blah blah blah. You know, that's fair enough to get you a beer and just to say thanks, but charging like double or well over the money, I think it's really out of order because it's. It's another Spurs fan. It's your own. I would never want to ever do that. I mean, the other day, my dad's season ticket, he couldn't come to the game, and the mate came, hang on a second, Flav, you still owe me £40, mate.
You want to make a profit out of me now, do you?
Yeah, I do. Nah, go on.
This is a case in point, but me and Rick are mates, but I took his old man's ticket to watch Spurs smash. Liverpool.
Fucking smash.
Smash them.
All I was going to say is that people take that opportunity to thinking, I've got a ticket, I can't go to the game, it's a spare, whatever. I could sell it to another Spurs fan for face value, and then I'm not out of pocket, and it's exactly how it should be. But they see it as an opportunity, I can make another £50. So it's just
it's mankind, mate. We all.
I know.
Well,
you know
well and that's it. I think it's different if say. Say Spurs are playing at Wembley in a semi-final of a cup or something.
I was about to say that.
And you have a ticket in one end of Wembley and you can get £100 profit on a ticket, but fine.
Yeah.
But if this is a match, a normal game, a Premier League game, White Hart Lane, and you know you can't use a ticket that you've paid for.
Yeah.
If you can get your money back,
that's good enough, surely.
And give that ticket to someone who's really gonna appreciate it, not some cunt from South London. I live in South London, by the way. and you know someone who's actually gonna take it and enjoy it.
Yeah, you're right.
Then you should do it.
I was just gonna say that I've seen the same guy with the Four Season tickets. Yeah, basically put on Facebook, North London Derby, £50 plus. That's face value. Highest bidder wins it, sort of thing. So then people get into bidding war.
I mean, look, if he's got lots of friends and he can't decide who to give it to and he decides to send it to the highest,
it's probably a fair way of sorting it out.
I get that. But I can only go by what I would do, right? And if someone does that, tries to do something else to me, then like it's up to me whether I accept it or not. But for me, it doesn't sit right, especially against a North London derby, which is...
I think it's bang out of order.
I don't get it. I really don't get it. I don't understand. I don't get. They're not. Spurs isn't there for you to make a profit out of. Spurs, certainly against other Spurs fans. It's not. Tottenham ain't there for you to make money. It's there for you to fucking support your club. If you can't go, give it to someone who can fucking bellow out for half an hour.
That's it.
Otherwise, don't bother. Don't go. Give your season ticket up. So before people that are willing to take over. I'm on the waiting list.
Clubs do an exchange, don't they? A ticket exchange.
That's pretty
you
good.
You can do it online. Yeah, yeah. On the website. Yeah. But again, I agree with you completely. I because of a few contacts, I tend to get random tickets here and there all the time. And I would never, ever take that ticket and decide I couldn't go to the match and then turn around and tell someone, give me £100 for it. Just, first off, it wasn't my ticket in the first place. And second, it's just not right to do so.
Yeah.
What's the price say on the ticket?
That's what you should go for.
Ask really someone like for that price.
And really,
even and a say pint like maybe.
A tenner
and a pint, yeah, and a pint for meeting you on the corner.
But that's your obligation to pay that guy out of goodness of your heart, Dan, saying, thank you for sorting me out. Here's a tenner. Have a drink.
Get yourself a drink. Yeah.
But it ain't up to the seller to fucking. Well, there you go. I mean, the club would say, return them to the club.
That's just courtesy, though, isn't it?
And if you do it for the club, they say you pay face value.
Yeah.
It's no different than giving a girl
still lose your booking fee.
Giving
though,
a girl
don't you?
A score for picking up your phone on the train. It's no different.
No, it's exactly the same. There you go, Dan. Anyway, has anyone got anything else to say on that? By the way, do anyone feel strongly have to utter another sound?
No.
All right. Linking on from the ticket thing, Ben Joss of the Fighting Cock Forum talks about problems, the ticket problems at Tottenham. I mean, the ticketing system, he can't sit where he wants to sit. He says it's really difficult. I don't really know what he's moaning about, other than the fact that he's saying that he can't get tickets on the day that he wants to get.
Well, I've got a great... You have this exact same experience as I do with the ticket office from last year. Spurs Inter Milan, if you remember, Flav. Because we talked about this. Spurs.
Well, you had to wait out.
Spurs. No. That was Real Madrid. I waited for 12 hours outside on. on Tottenham High Road.
In Tottenham High Road.
And was the
in March.
And was the last person that got a ticket before the ticket office closed.
Yeah.
I was the last person in queue.
And there was fights.
It was wild, and I got absolutely pissed the whole night drinking cans of Stella. That's all beyond the.
A higher grade drink.
Tell us about the fights.
The fights.
What about the fights?
I want to know about the fights.
What, on the Tottenham High Road?
Yeah.
Well, it was a bunch of people sitting outside the Bell and Hare the night that the Real Madrid tickets at home were going on sale. And there was probably 300-400 people in front of me all the way down the high road. And in the end, someone was doing keep-me-ups with a football.
Yeah.
Hit a geezer in the face.
Oh.
And it turns into a fight. But you know what happened also that night?
What?
I wandered up the queue to see how many people were in front of me, and who did I find? About, I don't know, 300 people in front of me?
The Silver Fox.
Declan
O'Brien. Most of you, I mean, I presume we've got a few thousand people listening to this. Maybe two or three of you might be lucky enough to meet this man in the flesh.
He's brilliant.
You think Ryan Gosling's good looking? This geezer is a god.
Yeah, he is.
He is a good looking geezer.
Who is he?
He's a mate of ours called Deck. We met him in Prague in 2006 when Spurs played the first European away game in ages.
And Deck is the reason that I got into Tottenham Real Madrid because, as I said, I jumped the queue.
I saw him jump the queue,
200-300 people. In the end, I was the last person that got a ticket before they closed the ticket office.
You didn't just jump the queue and made Deck it up, did you?
No, I was...
It's definitely true.
I was walking along, counting how many people there were in front of the Bell and Hare. And there's Deck sitting there, and I just snuck in and started talking to him. Before I know it, it's been 3 hours and I've been talking to him, and all the people around me don't realise that I haven't been there in queue all
night. And you integrated.
And I just kind of was in there.
Tactics. And you lasted how long in the Bernabeu? 45 minutes, wasn't it?
Well, we got kicked out just after halftime.
There you go.
But it was coming for a while before that.
What was the original question?
I don't know, but we haven't got enough time to talk about it. sorry, Ben Joss, but thanks for emailing your problem about... He basically had a problem about complaining about the fact that we didn't have enough tickets to sell to everyone, basically. He wants to sit in the park lane. There's never any tickets there. We don't have a big enough stadium. It's a problem for everyone.
Yeah, do you want me to get over it?
Yeah.
West Ham will when they move into Stratford.
Yeah, you have more than enough tickets there. Steve W. Winch, at Steve Winch, if you follow him on Twitter, says... why don't you read this out? Pick a voice, any voice.
Pretty sure Steve Finch.
Cock the fans are armchair fans entitled to an opinion as much as the attending supporter? If you don't sing at the game, are you not a proper fan? Is there some kind of yid grading system? I've come across a few high and mighty Spurs fans in my time, but I don't know where this comes from. I've seen arguments break out because someone would be screaming Jermaine Defoe is a yiddo.
Awful mum, I'm sorry.
No.
She's from Yorkshire. I'm sorry, mate. That's an awful Yorkshire.
The one in Yorkshire, mate.
I've been up your mum.
I'm American. I live in Yorkshire.
I thought something about up north. Up north.
On your own, mate.
I had sex with your mum, so on your own. I'm your dad.
Dad?
Yeah, so we're talking about whether or not... What class is a decent Spurs fan? What is a decent Spurs fan? I mean, is it for me, is someone who goes to the games and makes as much noise as they possibly can?
I don't think that's necessarily true. We all know that you can be in, say you're sitting in a park lane, and you're into it, you're singing the songs, but then kind of something goes against Spurs. They've scored a goal, we're 1-0 down, and pretty soon you end up with your arms crossed.
Yep.
Sitting back sulking, not singing,
right.
Not singing whatever. That doesn't mean you're not a bad fan, or you're not a good fan. It just means that you're, as this guy has suggested, that you're kind of
nervous.
You're too emotional to even properly react to what's going on because you're too into it.
I tell you what, when I was at the Arsenal game, I was sort of sat on my own amongst like a load of season ticket supporters. I just managed to get one on the day, properly, not through dodgy means, and no one really around me was chanting, but I was joining in with the chants. And the cunt behind me told me to shut up at one point because I kept chanting. Like,
what?
He didn't tell me to shut up. He was just like, go on, mate, go on, we've all heard you, sort of thing.
Oh, fuck.
And I just felt like saying, why are you sat here?
That's modern football.
Like, why are you sat here?
Well,
I'm not allowed to shout and chant and that.
That's the people I get in rows with, not other people.
But that's how football's changing slowly. You know, you can't stand up, you can't use particular words. I mean, saying racist words and homophobic words, fair enough, but if you get up and start swearing at a player without abusing him,
an issue.
It still becomes an issue. Some people do look at you as if, well, why are you using the F word?
I was going to say, I had that when I was throwing bananas on the pitch as well. I didn't realise I was so bad.
I won't talk about specific people, but it just so happens that a lot of the tickets that I end up getting secondhand end up being East Upper.
Yeah.
In a particular area, in a particular section.
Yep.
And I've gotten used to the fact that the people that sit behind me when I get these tickets not only spend the whole time telling everyone else in front of them to sit down and shut up,
yep,
but then leave after 80 minutes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Look, I understand in a particularly nervous game, and I go to Tottenham to sing. That's what I do. I'm not I mean, not just because I like singing.
Flav is the king of singing at Tottenham. He loves it. He fucking loves it.
I do love it. I do. And I don't go there to sing because I'm like an aspiring X Factor contestant. I like to support my club vocally. But against Arsenal last week, I was too nervous. I couldn't do it. I couldn't stand up and sing because I felt somewhere up in the clouds there was a God that was going to punish me for gloating. So I thought if I stay silent, Spurs will definitely win. So I didn't sing anything because I was so nervous.
Yeah, that type of game, Arsenal Chelsea at home, that's when I'm quite nervous,
right.
And it's
right.
Hold back a little bit because you're so into the game, you almost freeze.
Yes, exactly. That I understand completely. I really do. It's Wigan at home. It's Bolton at home.
People, we can't be bothered as Tottenham supporters. It's, I think one of the big complaints in recent years is, it's almost like we're only up for it if it's a particular opponent, and if it's your bog standard middle of the table fodder, it's almost like, well, we're probably going to win, and people just sit down and watch the game. And the atmosphere has gone down a little bit.
Without doubt, Dan.
I'm not maybe like Ricky or Flav, and I haven't been going my whole life. I've only been going actually to White Hart Lane for 3 years now.
Yeah, but solidly,
as you guys know. Anyway, Real Madrid at White Hart Lane.
Brilliant.
The game, we're already out of the Champions League, essentially.
Yep.
So the night was not about progressing. The night was about enjoying the fact that we were where we were.
It was a celebration.
And celebrating.
It was a brilliant moment.
Exactly. This was a moment that was all about celebration. Look what we've done. We've beaten both teams in Milan. We've taken over the Champions League. In a very aggressive manner. People are enjoying watching us playing football.
Everyone was talking about
enjoy the fact that Tottenham are where they're at. And what is my ending memory of that night is a guy sitting next to me who gets up with 20 minutes left in the match and walks up. And me, American.
The traffic, isn't it?
Me, basically, poking him in the back of the... In his back when he's walking down the stairs, having him turn around and me saying, "You are fucking garbage."
Yeah.
And he says, "Why am I garbage?
Why am I garbage?"
I said, "Because you're walking out on the
you're walking out on a Champions League campaign
on the last moments of a glorious, glorious season." And he says, basically, "What do you know?"
Yeah.
And I say, "It doesn't matter what I know,
you
because
know
I'm
going to
sit here and watch us enjoy the last 10 minutes
and I'm
going to
sit
match.
Here staying in White Lane and watch you walk out."
That's right.
Fuck you, whoever you are.
And he flipped me off on his way out, and then I boned his girl the day before.
I wish that was true.
Yeah, I wish it was too.
I wish it was true.
His bird was fit.
Well, I just want to quick hark back to Ramos era. We were bottom of the league, 2 points from 8 games, probably 2 points from 7 games or so from there. It was actually a draw this game, but we played Wigan at home, and I was sitting, me and Engineer Al were sitting together, and there was this ginger guy in front of us. I don't know why I call him ginger. It's just that he was ginger, and it's the only way I can remember him. But he was singing Super Tottenham from the lane over and over again. And we must have done about 50 to 100 renditions of "We Are Tottenham, We Are Tottenham, Super Tottenham
from the lane. We are Tottenham, Super Tottenham, We are Tottenham from the lane. We are Tottenham, We are Tottenham, Super Tottenham from the lane. We are Tottenham, Super Tottenham, We are Tottenham from the lane.
You are
me, you are me.
Yes.
Why do you always do that then?
It's like it's a bit like nom nom nom, but in the 90s when you got a corner and you just go, ooh. You remember that?
No.
You just get a corner,
bring it back.
No. All right. Well, it's a bit like that.
Bring it back.
But the point is that we were down and out. We were bottom of the league. We had no chance of doing anything. Ramos was our manager. We were in disarray. Terrible, terrible situation. But yet the fans were behind the team. And we were singing this "We Are Tottenham" over and over again. It would drown out. Doesn't matter how bad the football was, it would drown that out. And it was a beautiful moment, and I remember it as fondly as I remember us winning the League Cup against Chelsea. And that's what I want our games to be about.
It's a tribal thing, isn't it? And you're surrounded by a bunch of strangers and a bunch of mates, and you all come together for your love of Tottenham. You belong. has won.
We come together for our love of Ricky's.
We literally mate. Come together. Bukkake style.
Good enough for Shimmer.
Dead. Shimmer.
I think, get your fucking hand off me.
I think we've pretty much summed that up.
We didn't do predictions for the Newcastle game, though. Should we just end it or not?
Okay, Spook, how do you think we'd do against Newcastle?
I think we're going to do pretty well. 2, even 3-1.
3-1?
I think I might have said 3-1, actually.
Listeners,
3-1.
Put your money on 2-1, default the brace.
Nice.
Lose 2-1.
Lose 2-1. Thanks, Rick.
Nice one, Rick.
3-1 Spurs.
I think 5-0 Spurs. Engineer Al?
So I was talking to someone.
Who are you talking to? On Facebook?
Cougar.
40-year-old teacher.
The Cougar.
Give us an update on that.
What's going on?
What happened with 40-year-olds? If you don't know, a few episodes, Al pulled a 40-year-old teacher, philosophy teacher, and she licked his bum.
Licked my bum bum.
It's very philosophical.
But there's been an update.
Apparently she's met someone. But... But she's going to let me know if it all goes to pot. But at this moment in time, it's not looking too good for her.
For her or you?
Well, I don't really know.
Why isn't it looking good for her? Is he a rapist?
I don't know. She's getting all depressed because she turned 40 on Sunday.
Oh, fuck that off. This is too boring for the podcast.
You asked me. I don't want to talk about
it. I thought you were going to tell us some juicy gossip about her.
What was the original question?
Did you toss herself?
No, the original question.
What's your prediction for the Newcastle game?
Oh, I don't know. Well, I met a Geordie out in the past, and he went, "Oh, fuck, So,
what? He's gonna. I thought you were having a stroke.
Did you have a mouthful of pastry?
Fuck no.
Is it your cup? Who's gonna lose? Them or us?
That's what I said. You're unbeaten. It's gonna be a tough game for us.
Who? What's your prediction? Yeah,
well, I reckon we're gonna win. Probably 3-2.
Alright, that's it. That's the Fighting Cock, episode 12.
I just wanted to get one other thing in there with the retweets.
What was that?
I want everyone to just keep going with the retweets. Like, at the beginning, we were Tottenham, first half, full guns blazing, getting the retweets. Second half, just no one's putting the effort
isn't it time for a bit of reinvention?
I think we're bigger than the Tottenham players. That's why we don't need they should be getting retweets off me.
That's true.
I want
fuck Bobby Davro. Straight up, fuck you, Davro.
Why? What's he done?
No, he fucking won't. He's not exactly a major player, is he? And I just want a little fucking retweet and that. Meant to be a lifelong Spurs fan. Fuck you, Davro.
So you're basically saying Bobby Davro's mugged you off?
Yeah.
That's pretty poor.
He mugs himself off, mate, to be fair. So don't worry.
Someone who mugs himself off has managed to mug Alex off.
Can't we get that like trending or something like fuck Davro? Hash fuck Davro.
Hash fuck Davro.
What's it like?
He was used to do that voice,
didn't he? Do you remember?
No.
Bobby Davro, he used to have that one impression.
He was used to talk like that.
He did that thing.
Daniel Levy.
No.
It's different. Have you? You're nicking impressions of Bobby Davro.
I like him. Lucky I didn't do my Jim Davidson one earlier.
Well, you've done enough of, your banana joke earlier and all that.
I just did a poor Northern accent. Why did I do that?
That was good. That's good. Fine. Anyway, look, we're going to round up.
Your mum was good as well.
No. Oh, Jack's mum, she wasn't good. Like, let's bring it out. We all let it go last week. She was pretty average.
She was average. She took it like a mouth.
She took it like she should. I liked her biting.
Her eyes kept rolling into the back of her head.
Her biting was
that nice. Was my fault.
I think you gave her too much MDMA, Dan. Is this too far? It feels a little bit weird.
I don't know.
Well, I've never met his mum, so I don't reckon it's too far. I reckon she likes it a bit further.
Anyway, look, we're going to round up because this we've got to remember people actually listen to this.
Trailing off,
man. Yeah. You can please come and join the forum. We're getting busy now. We're actually getting a decent little community there. So it's thefightingcock.co.uk. There's a forum on there. You can meet the team. You can. There's loads of bits and pieces you can do on there. And thank you once again.
All the podcasts are up on the site as well.
Yes, the podcasts and various articles that we've written for the podcast. Also, we're looking for people to write articles. We're looking for journalists to actually write proper, decent articles about Tottenham.
Yeah, anyone out there, send in your pieces of work. And
your recordings as well. We're going to put anything that anyone sends in, we'll put on the podcast. Doesn't matter how shit it is. Don't worry about that.
I'm looking for a lady.
Oh, that's excellent. Because what we're going to do, Alex hasn't had his end away in since the 40-year-old virgin.
Wait, I'd like to have a lady as well. Can I be in on this?
We could kill it in two birds with one stone, just get Trunk's mum on.
Look, my flight's not even done right now.
No, listen. We're looking for a woman.
Like it.
We're looking for a woman who. Shush, guys. We're looking for a woman who will.
Come on a date with me, preferably an older lady.
Who will come on a date with Engineer Al. So Engineer Al is looking for a date, and we need. She has to be a Spurs fan.
It will be a feature.
Happens. We don't have to tell all the details, but we'll tell a relevant amount of details, and you're going to see on the Fighting Cop podcast. Engineer Al will have a dating profile and maybe even a video.
He'll take you out to Chicken Cottage.
There's no money changing hands. It's just if you're interested in Engineer Al.
Straight up date.
It's a normal date. That's all that's going to happen. unless you want.
I'm liking this.
Yeah. So basically, you need to come on, have a look at Engineer Al's profile pic. If you're interested, send us an email.
Hey, Chicago dance wall up as well. Any cougars out there?
That you might be taking cougars for Al.
It's not all about you.
Don't take his cougars.
Why don't me and Engineer Al?
Bum. There you go. You both get laid.
Tag team.
Right. We'll see what happens. See what offers we get, or you get. Okay. We want your any suggestions, any feedback, any recordings you want to send over. We'll stick them in the show. And that's it. Follow us all on Twitter. It's been another decent episode, I think, of the Fighting Cop.
Gosh, man!
Yeet!
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 Watch out,
man!
It's the Fighting. It's the Fighting. Cock! It's the Fighting. It's the Fighting. Cock!
Oh, Earth, Lily King! Lily King! Get out of his chamber of liquid. The chamber of liquid. Lenny King will turn on his computer, and then he will try to use Google to find the password to the Pentagon. There's lots of passwords. ABC 123. That is the password to the Pentagon. That is the password to the Pentagon. That Lee King has broken in to the Pentagon. Now he will sing Michael Jackson song to himself, and he can go into the liquid chamber.
Victory, but only 32% without Ledley King.